We're doing Sefer HaMidot. We're up to page Kuf Dalet, in the middle of the 17th chapter. And he said that there's this unusual aspect of Torah, and that is that the Jewish people only accept into their tradition the words of the people who are authorized to make institutions, to develop our Torah, our law. And it's interesting that you look through the ages, it's not like there weren't people who were given positions of leadership or took hold of positions of leadership and they weren't warranted of those positions, but you'll notice that they could not impact our tradition. It's not like we always have control over every position. You know, in the period of the Second Temple, the kings, the Herodian dynasty, they decided who would be the high priest. They put into power whoever they saw fit, and who they saw fit was a question of politics, not a question of piety. And yet, they were unable to shake our tradition. They were unable to impact the way we lead our lives. And the people who were able to impact the way Judaism evolved were specifically the righteous, the pious, those who held on to tradition. And he says this is a wondrous thing that you can note as you study Jewish history. He says, this is what the prophet said in the name of God in Isaiah. Tso teuda chatom Torah belimudai. He says, take hold. Look at the seal of the Torah among those who learn it. What he taught about this is the way our sages say about those letters, Mem Nun Tzadi Pei Chof, that these letters, the Talmud says, are unique letters. We have two mems. We have an open mem and a closed mem, depending on whether it appears in the middle of the word or the end of the word. We have two nuns. We have a nun where the leg is bent. We have a nun where the leg is straight, depending on if it shows up in the middle of the word or the end of the word. And the Talmud says an interesting line about these. It says, you take each of these letters and they're teaching you something. Talmud says in Shabbos, Gemara here. We'll go with his quote. Mikaf lekaf, in the order of the Aleph Beis, the Talmud is learning. From kaf to kaf, the letter is kaf. Kaf could be the hand, the palm of the hand. In a minute he'll explain what the Talmud means. The Talmud says, from kaf to kaf. From mem to mem, mi ma'amar le ma'amar, from saying to saying. Nun is mi ne'eman le ne'eman, from the trusted one to the trusted one. Pei is like pe, from the mouth to the mouth, mi pe le pe. Tzadik is mi tzadik le tzadik. That's what the Talmud says. Mi kaf le kaf, from hand to hand, romez al Torah shebichtav. That's an allusion to the written Torah, that the Torah was handed exactly, so to speak, from God's hand to Moshe's hand, shein reshut lishanot bagamot achat, that you can't even change one letter in the written Torah. This is the way it is, this is the way we were given the Torah, and this is the way it's going to remain. Ki Torah chatuma nitena mibreshit ad leinei kol Yisrael. Because the Torah was sealed, given over to Moshe. You can't change anything. You can't say, gee, I think it should say a little different. No. Utzpuneha bemiloteha uspura beotiyoteha. And there are hidden concepts in the words of the Torah. And there's an exact count to the letters of the Torah. The rabbis in the days of Ezra were called Sofrim because they counted. They knew the exact number of letters. You tell them, letter 5,216, and they could tell you. They had an exact count on the letters, and they knew the secrets behind why. This letter is letter 500. This letter is letter 5,000. This letter is this. And this is exactly the middle juncture of the Torah. And this is exactly the middle juncture in letters of the Torah and of words and of verses. They knew the count. They knew the Torah to that level. V'inim sira rak miyad liyad. The Torah was given from hand to hand. Ha'av moser livno. The father gives it over to his son, ve'omer, and the father tells the son, v'zot ha'Torah she'osam Moshe b'nei Yisrael. This is the Torah. What you see, son, that's what we got from Moshe, what was given to the Jewish people. Ve'omer, and the father teaches his son from the beginning, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, the Torah that Moshe taught us, morasha kilat Yaakov, is our heritage, it is Am Yisrael's. It is given over, rotzono lomar biyotenu nikalim biyachad masar lanu Moshe Rabbeinu, alav ha'shalom ha'Torah hazo. What we're telling him is, kilat Yaakov, Moshe gave it to the congregation. All of us together received the Torah, this Torah that you see, shetiyeh morasha midor ledor. That's ours, for every generation. So the first thing our sages said is the concept of Torah shebichtav, that these letters, the kaf, the fact that you have two kafs, allude to the idea that mikaf lekaf, from kaf to kaf, from hand to hand, we pass it on from parent to son, from Moshe onward, and we keep pointing back and saying, this is the way it was, and this is the way it is, this is the Torah. The next thing our sages spoke about, the mim, they said is mima'amar lema'amar, from saying to saying. They're talking about the oral law. Ki Torah shebe'al peh chatuma belomedeh, for really the oral law is sealed within those who learn it. It wasn't really written. It was given to Moshe orally. It's the oral law. Ki Moshe misra li Yoshua v'samach yado alav. Moshe gave over the oral tradition to Joshua, and he gave him the baton, so to speak. He gave him over the smicha, the responsibility of leading the Jewish people, of taking the tradition onward. U'mimenu imishtashelet mimusmach limusmach sheyeh ne'eman. And from Yoshua it goes on, from one who was ordained to the next one who was ordained, with the responsibility of being trustworthy to the source. Shelo yomar rak dvarim sheshama mipi rabo. What we say is the traditions we have from our teachers. Bezeu mima'amar lema'amar. That's the allusion of from saying to saying, klomar yelamed letalmidav davar shelamad. I say over what was said over to me, the oral law, not what's written. It's not handed from one to the other, the written Torah, but rather it's said over. I'm saying over what was said over to me. V'yomar lehem dvarim asher ne'emru elav. He says over what was said to him. Kmo shtimtza b'gemara, as you find the Talmud says, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi mishum Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi. V'Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi amar Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul. Amar Rabbi. Ad mishum kala kadisha di Yerushalayim. You have the tradition, the Talmud goes from Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi all the way back to the congregations, the leaders of Jerusalem. And we don't accept things from someone who wants to say something new. Let me tell you something new. I got something new to tell you. We don't accept it. Ki magzerot v'atakanot v'agdarim asher asu chachamim negader ulseyeg lechazek haTorah. Where do we accept innovations? The responsibility of the rabbis is to make institutions, to make fences. The rabbis say, don't touch a pen because he might come to write on Shabbos. So that's their responsibility. That's the first mission in Pirkei Avos. They have a responsibility to make fences. Ki ze nichlal b'ma'amar, regarding this is encompassed by what the Torah says, lo tasur min hadavar sheyagidu lecha yamin u'smol. Listen to the rabbis. Do not veer from what they teach you to the right or the left. Where do I have to listen to what they initiate? That's where they're entitled to initiate. They can't initiate a new mitzvah. They can't come in and say, okay, tomorrow every person has to get up, dance three times around the table and say, Baruch Hashem that I was born. But where'd you get that from? You can't initiate new things. You could initiate new institutions. The rabbis can say, you know, in our day and age, that people close a deal over a cup of whiskey, over a handshake. So that's called closing a deal. So they can make institutions for the smooth running of society. They can make institutions to protect that people don't transgress. But they can't invent new things. That's the idea that it went from saying to saying. That is also the idea, mipe lepe, from mouth to mouth, that the letter pe is really pe, the mouth. Mitzadik letzadik, from a righteous to a righteous. Ki lo lechol echad nitna rashut gam negderim usiyagim. Because not anyone who wants can make his new institutions. Even the capacity that the Torah does give the rabbis, the responsibility to make fences, not anyone can invent fences. Everyone has to go with those that we rely on that are tzaddik, that are righteous. Kim lasridim uvcharim umusmachim. The few remnants, the few chosen, the few who were given ordination. Bechol ze kalul b'ma'amar, and all of this is included in what God tells Moshe, v'gam becha yaminu leolam. They will believe in you for eternity. Lo amar gam lecha. God didn't say they will believe in you, gam lecha, to you. They will believe you for eternity, leorot, ki gam becha hamusmach mimcha v'al yadcha yaminu l'onam. God said they will believe in you. What does it mean, in you? In your continuum. The continuum meaning the one you ordain, who ordains the next one, who continues your path. It's in you, it's in your way. It's not that they will believe you, they will believe in your path for eternity. The faith goes from the one who gives ordination to the one who receives ordination. And so, the Torah that we have today, we could also say regarding that, these words that I command you today. What does it mean today? It's been 1,000 years, God. The Torah says, and the words I command you today should be on your heart. Time has passed. The idea is no. We're continuing, right? It's a living Torah. There's a continued tradition. And when we point to the Torah and we say, that's the Torah that Moshe gave the Jewish people. Really? I know the animal they skinned to make that hide. I know the scribe who wrote it. What do you mean this is the Torah that Moshe gave the Jewish people? This is the Torah. This is the continuum of the Torah. The only difference between this and what Moshe gave us is that this is a different parchment, a different ink, and a different oil, and a different scribe who wrote it. But the words are the same. These are the words, these are the letters. No one's added, no one's detracted. This is the way it's been. That's what Hashem tells the prophet Isaiah. That's the verse he quoted earlier. Hold on to that. Shebichtav. That's the Torah shebichtav shetia Torah v'divran v'im tzurim v'chatumim v'loshon echad v'nusach echad v'derech echad. God says to the Jewish people, take care. Don't take your responsibility lightly. You have to ensure when you copy over a Torah that everyone copies the same way, that everyone has the same exact Torah. Don't be lackadaisical about writing your Torahs. No, tzotuda. You watch over it. If someone has money and he's scared no one should steal it, he makes sure he gets a good save, he gets a good protection for his money. He makes sure to tie them in a knot that no one can replicate him. So long as he looks at the safe and he knows that the knot is there, the sign he made is there, he knows no one opened it. So the same thing, we have to ensure our written law is retained with our tradition. The oral law is watched over a different way, and with this he's concluding the chapter. The oral law is given over, every person says it over the way he wants. The only condition is, you can't learn it from anyone. But every person can teach the oral law in his own words. That's the idea of the oral law. The only condition is learn it from one who was ordained by someone trustworthy. That's what our sages said. It goes from one person saying to someone else's saying. And you know what? Each one's going to use his own words to teach the Torah, the oral law, provided that he's trustworthy. So then the written law is sealed. These words, exactly, that's what has to be given over. But the oral law is sealed in our hearts. It's in those who teach it. And that's what he says, I want you to seal it. The written law is sealed in the words. These words are the sealing of the Torah. And about the oral law, he says, the Torah should be sealed, not in a parchment, but rather sealed in those who learn me. It's sealed in the people. And there's more to say, but first, yes.
You're talking about the line, learning from someone respected. What about the situation, obviously it's nothing, we're not on that level of Rabbi Meir and Ayanacha, where he was respected and then he was not respected and he was respected again. Rabbi Meir still learned by him. So how is that,
That's an excellent question. So the rabbis really didn't agree with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir held that he knows how to discern and take the good from the bad. That was Rabbi Meir's claim. The rabbis didn't agree with Rabbi Meir. The rest of the rabbis would not learn by Acher. It's interesting because Acher was an interesting person. The question is a fantastic question. The Talmud tells us that Rabbi Meir was walking after Acher, and Acher was teaching. And it was Shabbos, and Acher was riding a horse, rabbinically prohibited, and Rabbi Meir was walking. And Rabbi Meir is still learning by him. And they're talking and learning, and Acher continues riding, and he turns to Rabbi Meir and says, Chazor Becha, step back. That's where the Tum Shabbos ends. You're not allowed to walk beyond that line. You're about to cross the line of where you're allowed to walk. So Rabbi Meir turns to his Rebbe and he says, Chazor Becha, you turn back. He seizes the opportunity and he says, you're telling me? What about you? Why don't you turn back? So Acher tells him, Shamati Machorei HaPargod, I heard a heavenly voice. I heard what's going on in heaven. And they said, Shuvu Banim Shavavim, you rebellious children, come back. Chutz Miacher, aside from Acher. The angels that await people's repentance have already said they don't want me back. So Acher was an extraordinary person. On the one hand, he tells Rabbi Meir, don't move. On the other hand, he hears heavenly voices that say, there's no room for him to come back. Our sages say he erred. He should have returned. So why did the angels say we don't want you? But God does. We have a tradition, we say it in our davening, that Hashem reaches out where the angels don't want us. Even the people who the angels say, we don't want him back, but Hashem does. And he shouldn't have listened to the angels. But we see he was an unusual person. He's still hearing what's going on in heaven. And he still tells Rabbi Meir, don't go beyond that point. He's riding the horse and he goes beyond. So you could say maybe his Tum Shabbos started elsewhere. But Rabbi Meir held that he can still learn from him. The rabbis didn't agree. But okay, you see that in spite of their disagreement with Rabbi Meir, they took Rabbi Meir's learning. Not only they took his learning, his is the basis for all of the Mishnah. His oral law.
Which means that it came from...
Oh, so we have to wonder how much of that came from Acher, right? But you see that the rabbis agreed. Well, his prime Rebbe was Rabbi Akiva. It wasn't Acher. But Rabbi Meir felt he could still get something from Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya was Acher. He was the... We learned the story already, yeah. So that was Elisha ben Avuya, who was later on called Acher. And Rabbi Meir's prime learning was from Rabbi Akiva. But he did gain from Acher, yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand this concept. You say that the angels don't have any free will, they kind of do what they want, and that they just, their whole existence is just do what Hashem wants all the time. So how can they go and say, we don't want him?
So we can't go in depth, but if you want, raise it again Thursday night. Bezat Shem will have a late night. In a nutshell, the concept of angels is a representation of a godly system. Meaning, according to the system, he shouldn't have been allowed back. He'd gone too far. And then there's the idea that Hashem says, I want the angels to represent the system. I'm going to say, no, I'm going to override the system. I have veto power, and I say I want everyone back. But the system, even the godly system, should not allow him back. And that's the way we also understand when God asks the angels, should I create a world? And the angels say, nope, man's going to sin. And God destroys them. Obviously, God wanted them to say that, right? Yes, God wanted angels to represent the system and then to indicate to us, look, I'm going beyond the call of duty. Even in the heavenly system, it's not logical to create a world with man who's going to be sinful, but I do want to create man. So there's always that duality where God wants to show us, you should know I'm going beyond even the heavens logic, so to speak. But okay, that's in a nutshell.